This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Many thanks to Brian Sharp, just made his debut, men's golf coach at Virginia Tech. Mike Norvell, head football coach at Florida State, joined us in hour number one. Jason Benetti is coming up here in about 15 minutes, the start of baseball season. And again, he has ACC ties with Syracuse and Wake Forest degrees. We'll get into that. And Roddy Jones later this hour as well. So a busy hour number two, Wes, of Packer and Durham.
But you know what it's never too early for, Mark?
Oh, don't. Hey, how much time you got for me to answer that question?
Go ahead.
No,
what's it never too early for, Mark?
No, you go ahead, because I saw this yesterday and fell off the couch. Now, here we are having serious conversations, name, image, and likeness, the racial and social unrest in this country, student athletes having platforms to have their voice be heard. We have a pandemic going on. We have no earthly idea if the college football season is going to start. We just talked to Mike Krzyzewski the other day on radio, played a part of that clip yesterday regarding the NCAA men's basketball tournament, which we lost in March of last year, and we were hoping not to lose it moving forward. And I run across Joe Lunardi laying out bracketology, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, you've got to be kidding me. It is no, that is not a thumbs up for bracketology, Wes. By the way, the ACC... with not one, two, three, four, nine teams in the upcoming 2021 NCAA basketball tournament. Now, this is not fantasy sports we're talking about. Joe Lunardi has it laid out. The ACC and the Big Ten, Wes, with nine teams in the dance. I cannot make this up in the middle of July.
And by the way, where's Georgia Tech? Where's Georgia Tech?
Oh, no.
I mean, I see all these other schools in Georgia. Where's Georgia Tech? Josh Pastor on line one. Josh Pastor wants to be on the show tomorrow to talk about Georgia Tech not getting any respect.
Don't go there. Don't give this any more life than it needs. It's July. We're trying to get football on its feet and moving forward, and you're worried about Georgia Tech not being in Joe Lunardi's first of 75 brackets.
I'm not. Josh Pastner is.
No, Josh is not.
Josh Pastner's upset. I get the nine. Josh is upset. Josh is on line one right now, upset.
You know who ought to be upset if you're a basketball coach? Let me give you one guy who should be upset. Jim Larrañaga should be upset. You know why? Yeah. Because yesterday it was announced that the Cayman Island Classic was being moved. So instead of Jim Larrañaga taking his guys to the Cayman Islands to play basketball and have a great time, the tournament has been moved to the Northwest Florida State College campus. Now, you went from taking... If you're a member of that basketball team, you're thinking, man, we're going to the Cayman Islands, play a little hoops, get a little sun, check out the sights, life is good. I'm now going to Northwest Florida State College to play that tournament. Now, that is something to be disappointed. Not being in Joe Lunardi's July 23rd bracketology is nothing compared to that disappointment. That's putting it in the real world.
Do you know where Northwest Florida State College is?
It's not the Cayman Islands. That's all I know. Some guy called up and told me where it was, because I was going crazy yesterday. He said, Pack, you know that's near Destin, Florida. I said, I'll tell you what. No disrespect. I've been to Destin, Florida. Beautiful sand, if you're into that. But you know what? If you're telling me I could be in the Cayman Islands or Destin, Florida, that's an easy call. And I'm not even a beach guy, and that's an easy call.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so we covered bracketology and Miami losing a trip to the Cayman Islands. That's our basketball for today.
So that's it.
On July 23rd.
And Tony Bennett, no pressure. You're a number one seed, according to Joe Lunardi. Virginia is the number one seed.
And Josh Pastner's getting no respect. Right. And is on line one and wants to tell you about it.
Bracketology me is important.
Two more schools.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Bracketology to me is important about in a typical regular world, March. Forget July, but we bring it up anyhow.
All right. We've got two more schools we need to cover quick on what would have been day three of ACC kickoff. And we've got BC on the ticket here and also Duke. And ironically, I think both schools have quarterback questions, Mark. But for BC with Jeff Hafley, a little bit like what we were talking about with Mike Norvell at the top of the show today, I think when you talk about Boston College, you just wonder what the Hafley product is going to look like and all the changes offensively. Yeah, they got people, David Bailey, they got a great offensive line. You're not as worried about that. And we talked to Bailey last week. But there's still just the philosophical and the foundation pieces of Boston College. That's a big question to me, to be honest with you.
Well, my big question with them, I think these two teams are very different, to be honest with you. I think BC's questions for me are on the defensive side. The good news is Jeff Hafley, that's his go-to, man. That's his expertise. Again, it's a new era. We don't know what it's going to look like, but I do have a feeling that 26 is going to touch it a bunch. Again, you mentioned we talked to David Bailey last week. That offensive line is out of sight, as you mentioned. But defensively, they got to be better. When you look at the numbers from a year ago, I know they got a lot of guys back, which certainly will help from that perspective. In fact, 21 of their top 25 tacklers are back. They just got to be better on that side, Wes. At times last year, they got pushed around.
Yep.
They were awfully young. But for BC to get to the next level, and it's going to take some time. This is not going to happen overnight for Jeff Hafley's group. But defensively, they need to show improvement if they're going to make some kind of inroad in the Atlantic Division. But you know, you kind of know what they're going to do with the football, because when you got that kind of offensive line and a power back, there's no need to get cute and reinvent the wheel here. Give the ball to the big man and see what he can do. But Jeff Hafley, again, we've had him on the show, and I like his mindset. He's already making an impact from a recruiting perspective. We talked about that earlier this week. It will take some time, but he's got a lot to sell at BC, and he absolutely has bought into what that school represents and its culture. So I think it's a good fit on the front end. So now he's just got to go out and get it done.
All right. Now, the questions at Duke, Blue Devils struggled a year ago. Injuries had something to do with it. Inconsistent play at quarterback. Now, seemingly, a lot of those questions at quarterback would be answered with Chase Brice. But now Chase Brice has to play catch-up too, right, Pac? I mean, that's the other thing. As good as Brice is, This is not, you know, Justin Ross and T. Higgins catching it on slants. This is a, you know, different kind of concept, and he's got to play catch up, I think.
That would be true. And Duke really struggled in the second half of the season last year. And you think of David Cutcliffe, you automatically think quarterback whisper. So I think Chase Brice is gonna be just fine. But Duke offensively has to be better. This is why I think BC and Duke are almost kind of polar opposites in some respects. I think Duke defensively has some stars. We talked to Chris Rumpf earlier this week. He's a dude. They've got plenty of dudes on that side of the ball. But ironically, I think Duke offensively is really where the question mark is. And David Cutcliffe is certainly going to be more hands-on with the offensive approach this year. So while BC, I think, needs to get better defensively, I think Duke offensively needs to be more consistent. So two teams that will probably be looked upon in the bottom tier of their respective divisions, but they both have opposite issues to address. Duke offensively, BC on the defensive side.
All right, that's a quick look at the last two teams that would have been a part of day three of ACC kickoff. Not only would this have been day three of ACC kickoff, it's also opening day for baseball. So we had to go find an ACC connection. We know we got players from the ACC all over Major League rosters. But we had to find a guy connected to the ACC to talk opening day. So we found a guy that, you know, went to Wake Forest, where Tim Duncan went, and Syracuse, where Carmelo went. Jason Bonetti will join Packer and Durham next. His debut on ACC Network right after this.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
You've been watching Chicago White Sox baseball on CSN Chicago. What a game.
to y'all.
Thanks.
Do I have everything?
Not good, huh?
It's 19 hours until the Sox game. You know, with like a couple of trips to and from Tallahassee in between. That seems like a reasonable thing, I think.
As I look at my time, it's 11:32. We've been in the air for 10 minutes or so. I think it's about a 2-hour, 30-minute flight. So that puts us in Tallahassee at 2 Central Time. It's time for a nap.
Thanks a lot.
Cab's on its way.
All right, here we go.
Everybody sleep at home.
Anthony Becht along with you. Rocky Boyman is downstairs. We'll join him in a moment. Our final score, 27-21 NC State. So long, everyone.
Here we go. Let's go. We got a shot.
We're back on the plane. It's like 4:20 in the afternoon Eastern time, which gives us 2:50 until first pitch. So we got a shot at this thing. We're on our way to the stadium. John's driving. He's getting us there as fast as possible.
Stoney Aloney.
Lost the bat.
Right over there. Home sweet home. I'm gonna get into the booth and he's gonna be like, you know what? I'll just do it tonight.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you. How you doing? Hey, pal.
This is for you. This is the award. Yeah, Bean O'Malley said that that's one thing that you should probably have waiting for you when you come back, and there it is. Congratulations. Nice job today.
Thank you. Good job by you, by the way. I watched on the way here. You invasive camera, you. You've been with me for 23 hours. Go away. Go.
Life in the... That's the life as a play-by-play guy, huh, Wes? That's how you guys are living, right? Jet flying, wheeling, dealing, Ric Flair, like... I mean, yeah. You guys got it made, man.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. You betcha. A lot of coffee, a little bit of sleep. You keep moving, right? That's all you can do. Book them and go.
Now, I will
Book them
say,
and go. Great. Jason Benetti.
That was a full day. That was a, you know what, you've earned your keep when you can do three games in basically 24 hours. That's when you know you're getting it done.
Yeah. I think Jason to join us via telephone here. Joked with him, but go early, kids, because Jason has already done baseball during the course of the year. He was doing so as part of the impact. Jason on the phone yet? Let's see.
I don't believe so. In fact, I think not only do we have technical issues with Jason Benetti, but we're trying to work that out. I think we're now having technical issues in Cartersville, Georgia with Wes. The beauty of live television that you just never know how this thing's going to work. But nevertheless, that was a pretty cool deal. I'd read about Jason doing that. I'd never seen the video of it. And the only thing that I could even put in my lifetime that is even close to something like that is that years ago, Robbie Gordon decided to do both the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600 the same day. And it's been attempted by multiple drivers. And they asked me to go for the ride. And so I did both the Coca-Cola 600 and the Indy 500 the same day. But that Benetti did three games in 24 hours, which is just crazy. And that wasn't one of those things about, I did a game and all of a sudden I got my car and I drove on Tobacco Road down the street to do another game at Duke Carolina, whatever the case may be. I mean, that is doing some serious work right there. We know about how Herb Street will do College Game Day, yeah, and then, you know, next team road trip and do a game somewhere out that night. I mean, that's different too. But three, Wes, in 24 hours is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's that part right there requires a little bit of setup on a lot of ends. And having done two games in two different cities, I did an NFL game in 2005 and did a basketball game that night in a different city. The football game was at 1 o'clock on a Sunday, and the basketball game was at 7 o'clock. And you got to have some, you got to have some help. And fortunately, any successful guy like Jason, you know, whether you're working for two different operations, there's always logistical people involved with the organizations, and, you know, probably know some people with law enforcement in the area who can help you a little bit, that kind of thing. All that stuff comes into play. There's no question.
I remember also the only other double that I did, and I'm not sure if anybody else has done this. When I was running the Clemson Radio Network and I was a consultant at LSU, and this was in 1987, 88, something like that, I did both Death Valleys
right
the same day. I did started in Clemson's Death Valley and ended up at Tiger Stadium that night. So I did the Death Valley dip. I'm sure somebody else has done that one, or at least tried to do it. But yeah, Clemson's game had been moved up early for television, so I left like in the third quarter, beelined to the Greenville Spartanburg Jetport, zipped on down to Baton Rouge, and did A&M and LSU that night at Tiger Stadium. So I've done the Death Valley dip and the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600. That's the only thing I can throw in there in any kind of comparison with what you guys have done.
Yeah, well, our next guest, last year when we were in the Triangle area for football, Roddy Jones and Eric Wood said, hey, Duke and Carolina are both playing basketball on a Friday night. Do you think we can do both games? And I said, we can try. So guess what? We did. But when Roddy Jones joins us next, we're going to talk to him about football. The host of the ACC AF podcast and our ACC Network football coverage. Roddy Jones is next on Packer and Durham.
This is the Packer and Durham podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. We're still going to try to get Jason Benetti since it's the opening day of baseball. So we haven't given up on Jason Benetti, all right? Try to get that out. But now, Roddy Jones joins us front and center, and we got a lot to cover with Roddy. He's been all over the place here lately, too. So, Mr. Jones, is he ready to roll? Maybe.
Let's see.
Maybe. There he is.
There we go.
Maybe. Wait. What? Wait.
What's
wait a
up,
second.
Guys?
What are you wearing? What are you wearing?
Oh. See, this is my Pinehurst shirt, Wes. So I wore this because this was supposed to be the week of ACC Media Day. And 10 years ago, I went to ACC Media Day for the first time. Now, that wasn't the trip to Pinehurst. But the next year, I went to Pinehurst, and Paul Johnson, on the last day, basically said, hey, you need to stay and play golf. You're not going to get a chance to play Pinehurst very much. The only catch at that time was I had never played golf before. So Paul Johnson just goes ahead and says, hey, I signed you up. I've got you clubs. You're flying back with me. You're playing golf. So this was my first time ever playing golf at ACC Media Day. And Coach Johnson, let's just say that he let me know how bad I was the entire time.
So the first time you ever played golf was at Pinehurst?
Pinehurst number 8. Yep. Whew. It sure was. And they've never let me back. So.
Oh, man. Just curious, how long was that round? Was that like 7, 8, 9 hours long? Just curious.
Oh, let's just say we had to keep it moving. And Logan Walls and I were partners with a couple of media members. And there was some shot forgiveness at times.
Yeah.
There were some balls that were lost that, you know, magically appeared in the middle of the fairway near the cup. So we kept it moving. Right. If I'm going to play bad, I'm going to play fast.
That's exactly right. Everybody in America, listen to what Roddy just said. If you're going to hack it around, do it quickly.
Yeah, exactly. That's my motto.
Okay, now let's back up just a second here before we address some football issues. You've played golf since, right?
Yeah, that is correct. Not much better, but yes.
Okay. But Pack, at least for a while, the man's only round of golf in his life was at Pinehurst. Some would just stop after that.
Well, I would say...
Wes, honestly, some would say I should have stopped after that.
You'll read my mind. You know what? After an eight-hour round, I might have just said, hey, you know what? This golf thing just might not be my thing, man. You know, just out there swatting at that thing at 125 degrees. I might pass on that opportunity. All right, let's get to football, something you truly know about. As we sit here in this pandemic, Roddy, kind of waiting to just kind of get some direction on when we're going to start, if we're going to start, all that stuff. Give me two or three concerns you have for some teams that are getting a lot of love, because there's about five or six teams in this league: Clemson, North Carolina, Louisville, Virginia Tech, Miami, Florida State, Pittsburgh. There's seven right there that are catching a lot of attention. And give me two or three concerns where you go, hey, wait a minute, pump the brakes a little bit. I'm not necessarily sold on fill in the blank.
Well, I think we'll start in the Coastal Division with North Carolina. I think there's concern about their defensive line. You lose Aaron Crawford and Jason Strobridge. And while, yeah, they should be fantastic at linebacker and should be much better in the secondary if they're healthy, I think there's concern about that defensive line. The other thing is North Carolina finished so strongly. They finished so well that we've gotten incredibly excited about them. Not that they're not going to be good, but I think we need to consider what we saw on the field and separate that from the momentum that they've gained on the recruiting trail off the field, and also with the fact that their last three games, where they looked fantastic, were against Mercer, NC State, and Temple. So to think that they're just going to run away with things because they've got all these guys coming back, they are going to have to take a legitimate step forward. And there's some consistency things on offense that they're going to need to clean up. And you would think that would happen with the experience they have coming back, but you've also been hit with a pandemic where you weren't able to practice together. So there are some concerns there. In terms of Florida State, I think the offensive line is certainly a concern. They're going to have a better offensive identity than they did, particularly when Kendall Briles and Willie Taggart both had their hands in the offense. So the offensive line is a concern, but defensively, I think they may be so good that it'll overcome it. And then Louisville, I think the entire defense has to be one of those concerns, that they have to be better in order for Louisville to take the step forward that you expect them to take.
All right, Roddy, I mentioned this in the first segment today. Now all of a sudden we're dealing with, like, Clemson has moved their classes back to like a September 21 start. And to me, that might be the first indication that if we get a football season – of any ilk, it may start mid-September on. That would mean that some of these schools have had kids back on campus since mid-June. So now we're talking about a three-month run-up. I know when it's intermittent and different variety of working out, but still on campus, adhering to the guidelines and all this. So as much as coaches wanted this, you know, play catch-up, if you will, take me to the mental side of a player. How does a kid gear up and gear down and then gear back up again, so to speak, I think? Because to me, that's going to be a big concern for some of these schools if we play the start and stop game through the month of August and on into September.
Yeah, I agree with you, Wes. I think it's going to be really challenging for a lot of these guys to have to make alterations to their plans. And you're going to have to rely on the coaches and the strength staffs to be able to basically help their bodies get ready at the right time without beating them down too much. You don't want to stay in camp forever so that you're just going at each other all the time. So you're going to have to kind of scale back. You know, maybe coaches go every other day with practice. Maybe they decide to go less in full pads. Maybe practices become shorter. So all of those things are going to come into play. As a player, I think what I would do is just focus on the firm date that you know right now. So right now, until otherwise, your first game is supposed to kick off on September 4th, September 5th. And if that's the case, let's get ready like we're going to play then. And then you make adjustments based on what's going to happen or what could happen, what decisions are made down the line. This is something that is truly unprecedented. And I don't know how players and how coaches are going to deal with any of this, to be honest with you.
Give me some surprises, Roddy. I just asked you for some teams that are catching a lot of love that you sit there and go, hey, wait a minute, you know, I'm buying, but, you know, there's still some concerns. But give me some teams or maybe some players in this league that might be flying underneath the radar a little bit before we get cranked up for 2020.
Well, I'll give you one on each side. So on the coastal side, I'm going to give you Duke. And Duke's defense, Wes knows my infatuation with Duke's defense because of how many times we had him last year. But Duke's defense last year was absolutely fantastic and they were largely limited by the offense. And when you look at Duke from a turnover standpoint, they turned the ball over was at one of the higher rates of anybody in the conference. But 21 of their 28 turnovers came from the quarterback position, be it either fumble, there were 7 of those from the quarterback, and 14 interceptions. So if Chase Bryce, who's the presumptive starter, decides to or can limit that, then they're going to be much better on offense. They're going to be less limited. They've got some talent with Jalen Calhoun and Noah Gray. Deion Jackson is a good, versatile running back. And David Cutcliffe's going to call the plays. What that changes, I don't know, but I love it just because I love Dave Cutcliffe. So I'm going to give you Duke because I think they're going to be a lot better on offense, and their defense is going to be just as good with Chris Rumpf, Victor Mukhegi, and the plethora of talent they have in the back 7. And then on the Atlantic side, I look at Syracuse. I think that Syracuse team was disappointing a year ago, particularly on the offensive side of the football. But Sterling Gilbert comes in as the new OC. He's largely going to be tasked with rehabbing Tommy DeVito. And he was a guy that coached Jimmy Garoppolo at Eastern Illinois with Dino Babers. So if he's able to sprinkle some of that magic on DeVito, then they're going to be a lot better as well. And then defensively, with what they're going to a 3-3-5, it at least is going to create havoc. So if they're able to create some havoc, get some turnovers like they did in 2018 – then I think that they can be better as well.
All right. Roddy Jones, not only ACC Network football analyst / expert, also the host of one of the fastest growing new podcast pack on the market, ACC AF, where he has done a season preview just about of every ACC school, and it's available wherever you download your podcast, ACC AF. What have you learned in your podcast from your guest about these schools? Is there a change? Is there something that we're missing as we talk about 2020 from any ACC school in particular here?
Yeah, so I've done 8 of the 14 so far, and I think one of the most interesting ones was the Syracuse one about Dino Babers, his infatuation with going to this 3-3-5 defense. Brent Axe came on and was fantastic talking about Dino Babers talking to Rocky Long, vetting Zach Arnett, and then eventually landing on Tony White. And so when you have a switch of this magnitude, you are a little concerned about how the personnel fits. But Dino Babers was so excited about getting this defense in that he was dogged in his approach to get it. So I think that pursuit of Tony White was really interesting. I think the other thing was Pat Bostic during the Pitt episode basically told me that Pitt's going to have an unlimited number of defensive linemen. Like, we focus at the guys at the top, Jalen Twyman, Patrick Jones. They're getting Rashad Weaver back and Keyshawn Camp. Deslin Alexander's back. But he said they could go 9 to 12 deep on the defensive line, which means not only are you getting some really great top-end talent, but those guys are going to be fresh the entire game. So I think those were two of the bigger things that I was really excited to learn about. And I appreciate the plug, Wes, because all 14 teams are going to get done. No matter what people say about the schedule, about what we're going to play, we're going to do season previews for all 14 teams.
Clemson's at the top, Roddy. Any concerns with the Tigers?
I don't have concerns. I have question marks because I have no doubt they're going to be able to fill those spots. But when you look at the offensive line, how do you replace 4 or 5 from what was the best offensive line that Dabo Swinney's ever had at Clemson? when you look at the receiving core, Amari Rodgers is coming back, but without Justin Ross, there's no proven number one. So who's that number one going to be? I think those are the questions. Concerns would be a little too far, but I think those are the question marks for the Tigers.
You know, Roddy, Mark visited with Ian Book yesterday on his afternoon show, and Notre Dame is going to have a presence in the ACC this year, unlike what they've had before. And, Pac, we were talking about it, you know, kind of before the show and a little bit during the show. Notre Dame's going to be an interesting piece of what 2020 looks like in ACC football, because I think they're going to end up with a couple of more ACC games in addition to the six scheduled. And then no matter how 9 and 10 look on paper and wherever they fit, Roddy, I think the Irish is, they're not conference members in football, but they're going to be a conference factor in football this year.
They absolutely will be. And look, there's been a lot of discussion about how the ACC should treat Notre Dame during this schedule, during this pandemic, and whatever the schedule ends up being. I really think this is the year for the ACC to say, hey, Notre Dame, what do you need? We'll help you in whatever way you need to be helped. And the number of games that they have is likely going to end up looking a lot like another ACC team. There's even been some discussion amongst us media types of what if Notre Dame plays a full ACC schedule and is eligible to play in the ACC championship game, which, to be quite honest with you, from a moral standpoint, like, do I agree with Notre Dame jumping into the league and being eligible for the ACC championship game? I don't. But it would be great for the league, because then you could potentially get a Clemson-Notre Dame matchup two times next year, which would be absolute must-see TV. So Notre Dame's going to have something to say about how the ACC schedule goes, whether or not those games count as ACC games, conference games, are they all non-conference? We're yet to see that, but the number of games is going to continue to go up as we get into this thing, because Notre Dame is going to have to fill out that schedule, and the ACC is going to be there to help them.
Roddy, I'm going to disagree with you on that. You know, and I'm going to tell you why. The ACC and Notre Dame has a great partnership, and when in times of need, good partners help good partners. And I think that you're going to see, from a scheduling standpoint, if necessary, the ACC will be there for Notre Dame's help. Notre Dame's not going to have a problem ever filling out a schedule because of who they are. But I would not agree with Notre Dame being in the hunt for an ACC football championship. If they decide to join football full-time, hey, have at it. It's a tag, you're it, you can go get it. But if you're not going to jump in the deep end of the pool officially as a football member, you have no business ever being in an ACC football championship game. That's just look, my opinion.
I agree with you there. I agree with you with everything that you just said. But think about Clemson Notre Dame twice. Like that alone is exciting enough for me to entertain that possibility. So if you could get Clemson Notre Dame twice, potentially undefeated teams in the middle of the season, and then a one-loss undefeated team at the end. Man, that's exciting. So,
but Roddy, here's where I'm going to disagree with you again. You know what? Who does Notre Dame replace? Are you going to replace North Carolina at 8-0, 9-0? You can replace Virginia Tech Miami at 8-0, 9-0? I mean, or whatever the number is, 10, 12, 6. I don't know how many games we're going to play. You cannot have Notre Dame replace somebody in the ACC championship game from the Coastal Division who could be undefeated. That is, to me, crazy. That makes awesome as you think that game could be, and who knows? Maybe Clemson goes to Notre Dame and beats him by 6 touchdowns in South Bend. I don't need to see that game again. I mean, Notre Dame, until they say, hey, we're in for football, they have zero ability to be in the ACC championship game, period.
Well, we're kicking around a lot of different scheduling scenarios, too. So in the scenario where you have the two divisions still, yeah, it doesn't work. But there's been crazier ideas floated around.
No, you're crazy. You know what? I think you will be on Pinehurst number 8 at 10:01 a.m. before I see Notre Dame in the ACC football championship game while not being a member of the league in football. That's what I think.
That's fair.
All right. Can I just cannonball into the pool of speculation down here with you two guys for a second?
We'd love it. Absolutely.
Who says we're going to have divisions? who says we're going to have divisions this year? We may just play it through, and the top two teams in the, quote, college football playoff rankings will meet in Charlotte.
Yeah, okay. If you think that we're going to have Notre Dame in the ACC football – and let me tell you another real funny
–
it's my turn. It's my turn, Cannonball. Hold on. If you're telling me you think you're going to have Notre Dame in the ACC football championship game, and let's say they win it. So who goes to the college football playoff from the ACC? Cannonball. You tell me the answer to that one.
But Notre Dame would go regardless. If that's the scenario and they're playing a largely ACC schedule and you've got undefeated Notre Dame and one loss Clemson, because they're scheduled to play no matter what.
So
ACC's not guaranteed to have somebody in. I mean,
so,
Notre Dame would get in anyway.
So you're going to do a favor, per se, for someone that technically is not an ACC member to give them, number one, we're going to help fill out your schedule. Then we're going to invite you to our party for the championship game. And if, heaven forbid, for 60 minutes, the ACC member loses, you're going to lose out on the college football playoff because you're doing all these favors? You guys are crazy. Nuts.
Pack.
Both of you.
Pack. The favors of the ACC helping Notre Dame are going to happen no matter what. So the Notre Dame already has six games.
Fine.
If that expands to 8 or 10, it doesn't matter if they play in the championship game. If they're undefeated against 10 ACC teams and they beat Clemson, who is already on the schedule, they're going to the college football playoff. Whether or not that's at the expense of another ACC team, that's to be determined. But the ACC helping out Notre Dame by filling out their schedule with ACC teams, if Notre Dame goes undefeated, they're in the playoff. There's, whether or not they are eligible to play in the ACC championship game.
I get that. But you know what? You cannot allow somebody who technically is not a member of your league and invite them to a championship game to possibly knock out the team you think could get to the playoff. That is ludicrous. Georgia Tech is going to ask for your degree back with that thinking.
We are at a revenue deficit now. We got to create as much buzz.
You're out of your mind. You're crazy.
So you got to have Notre Dame and Clemson as many times as you can.
You bumped your head somewhere on the 14th hole at Pinehurst number 8. Dude, you need to readjust your thinking on that one, my man. You're crazy.
It's that business school degree. Pack, you know about it. You got to have something to sell. And Notre Dame, Clemson, you can sell that.
I can sell it all day. But you know what? Until Notre Dame agrees to be a full-time member in football, they're not going to play in my ACC football championship game. Period.
From a moral standpoint, because I've played in the league, you got to join the league to be eligible for the championship. But in a 5-team pod scenario where you're playing home and homes, in a scenario where you scrap divisions and you're just playing regionally, how do you decide? And if Notre Dame's clearly the best, I've had people ask me, hey, should they be eligible? And the answer is no, they shouldn't be. But if they were, you would create a lot of buzz for the league. So that's the last I'll say about it.
I've rested my case on this one. I don't need to scream at you anymore.
This has been good.
I'd almost rather go to bracketology than talk about this anymore.
No, not on July 23rd. We're not doing bracketology. Roddy, you're the best. Thanks for coming in and stirring the pot with Pack. Always appreciated. ACCAF is the podcast. You can get all the latest info on ACC football.
Appreciate you guys having me. I always love coming on, and especially when I find something that gets Pack riled up.
There we go. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to rile up Pack with this. We're going to do the bigger number. Is there an ACC football number or a San Francisco Giants number on opening day? We'll come back and talk about it after this on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham, Thursday. We're still trying to get Jason Benetti. Maybe we get him tomorrow, right? It's still good, right? He's an ACC guy. Syracuse, Wake, baseball's going on, all that good stuff. Wes, I know you guys have a tease for me because I heard what you were talking about with this San Francisco Giants ACC numbers. But this is the box, by the way, from Georgia Tech. And I have opened up the top of it. I don't know what's
for
in
a
it.
Mask?
I just slashed this so I can get into it. I've not looked into it, so I don't know what's in here. So we'll get to that momentarily. But you guys have something up your sleeve
it's
for me.
It's a big mask.
Wes, I just told you. I don't know what's in there. It's a
big
box.
All right, here we go. Fast and Furious. Yeah, I see it. It looks good. All right, Fast and Furious. Here we go. Who's going to have the bigger number? ACC football or the San Francisco Giants, okay? And you're on the clock here, Pac. All right?
Go ahead.
So bigger number. Bigger number. Giant wins or Trevor Lawrence touchdowns?
Oh.
Again, bigger number. Trevor Lawrence TDs or Giants wins?
Trevor Lawrence touchdowns. And he, you know what? He may only play one game, and that number still could be higher than the Giants wins this year. We're only playing 60 in Major League Baseball. Trevor Lawrence is going to put stupid numbers. I don't care if we play a 6-game, 8-game, 10-game schedule. I'm going Trevor Lawrence all the way on that one. No doubt. Not even close.
All right. Next one. There's a Yastrzemski on the Giants roster this year.
And last year.
And I think it's Mike Yastrzemski, right? Is that right? Mike Yastrzemski? Yeah,
he played last year.
Greg Russo sacks or Mike Yastrzemski home runs?
Oh, Russo sacks. Russo sacks. I mean, we play at Oracle Park. I mean, it's hard to hit one out of there anyhow. We got no power with our baseball team. So, yeah, I mean, Russo is going to be fantastic. He and Roche are going to cause nightmares for everybody. And, again, I preface that. If we have a condensed schedule. So I'm going Russo sacks.
Okay. All right. Good enough. Number three on this list. Here they are, Fast and Furious now. Andre Cisco interceptions or Johnny Cueto wins?
Ooh, Cisco could get double digit. Oh, Cisco interceptions. Cueto goes tonight against Kershaw. Not like my chances there. I'm going to go Cisco interceptions.
Okay. All right, so we go Andre Cisco. All right, last one. And the Georgia Tech box may have to be at the 8 o'clock hour tomorrow because we may not get to it. Last one, ACC teams in the college football playoff are foul balls hit to Packers cardboard cutout at Oracle Park that you've purchased.
Yeah, I have purchased one. I haven't seen it yet. We're working on some of the Giants on that, but I did buy a Mark Packer cardboard cutout sitting in section 112, AAA, seat 5. That's on the front row. I'm going to go ACC teams in the college football playoff because one will beat zero. That's my thought on that deal. The ACC 4, right. The Giants, nothing on that new team. Oh, brother.
Thanks to Mike Norvell, Brian Sharp, Roddy Jones, and Jason Benetti. Dan
tomorrow.
Presser, Claire Atkins, Jen Milkovich put the show together. Georgia Tech Box at 8 a.m. We'll see you in the morning.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.